Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. Before we begin our program today, let me extend to you a very special and warm invitation. Come and be with us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ at 2202 North 40th Street, beginning on November the 2nd and going through November the 7th. We're having a very special week. We've invited Brother Roger Schaus from New Albany, Indiana, to come and to share with us his insight and his knowledge concerning spiritual things. Brother Schaus has been with us before, and we've been very well pleased to sit at his feet and to learn those things that are important to us from a spiritual nature. Brother Schaus will preach for us, Lord willing, on Sunday, November the 2nd at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and also each evening, Monday through Friday, at 7 o'clock. We hope that you can come and join us in that effort. Over the last several weeks, you and I have been discussing, we've been studying the subject of final things. Final things, that which is defined in Webster's dictionary as things not to be altered or undone. Final things. Daniel Webster, who was a New England statesman, once said to a reporter from the New York Times that the most important thing that he had ever considered is the realization of standing before God to give an answer for the things he's done. Certainly we agree with that. Three final things has been the topic of our studies. First of all, we studied the judgment. The judgment that follows the second coming of Christ, the end of time, the time of proclamation, the time when we will stand before the judge to hear him say one of two things: either "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your Lord," or "Depart from me, ye who work iniquity, I never knew you." Certainly a serious thought. If you'd like DVDs of those lessons, just go to our website at www.montevistacoc, stands for Church of Christ, that's montevistacoc.com. Follow the instructions of that website and we'll mail you free of charge a DVD of any of the previous lessons that we've had on this Go and Teach radio program. You could ask for the lessons that pertain to final things. Well, when we finished our study on the subject of judgment, we entered into a subject that is not fun to talk about, a subject that is defined graphically in the Bible, and I'm sure a subject that God has designed in His infinite wisdom to grab our attention and to change our focus from anything of a physical nature to those things of a spiritual nature so that we can avoid the place called hell. I don't know if you have a pencil with you or a piece of paper, but if you can get one, I'd like to give you some scriptures to write down, some scriptures that you could read in the privacy of your own home, and these scriptures would convince you of the reality of this place called hell. You know, we live in an environment where even a lot of people of theology say that hell is just a concept, it's not real. Nothing that you'd have to worry about. A God that is defined in the Bible as God is love would certainly never send anyone to such a despicable and terrible place called hell. But the Bible teaches something different, as we've seen in our studies. If you have that pencil and paper, I'd like for you to jot down the following scriptures. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 11 and 12. Then jot down 2 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter, verse 7, 8, and 9, Romans 6, and verse 23. Also, write down 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verses 4 through 9, and also in that same chapter, verses 20 through 22. Now, if you would, write down Jude, verse 6 and 7. Finally, on your paper, if you would write down the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, also Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8, and chapter 22, verse 15. Here's what those passages of Scripture will say to you. They will say that John the Baptist preached the reality of hell. They'll say to you that the Apostle Paul preached the reality of hell. They'll say to you that the Apostle Peter preached the reality of hell. They'll say to you that Jude, the author of that small book toward the back of the New Testament, preached the reality of hell. They'll even say to you that the Apostle John, the one who was exiled by the Roman government to the Isle of Patmos and given that wonderful revelation of hope, preached the reality of hell. Certainly, if we believe the Bible, we must believe in the reality of hell. We spent our time ending last week considering a graphic picture of that place called hell. We saw in the Bible where it's described as a place of flaming fire in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 5 through 8. It's described as a place of everlasting punishment, Matthew 25 and verse 46. It's also described as a place where the worm dieth not, Mark 9, verse 43 through 48. It's described by inspiration as a place of outer darkness, Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. It's described as a place where the worst of all mankind will spend their eternity. What a terrible place, this place called hell. It is so terrible, in fact, and God chose a very special name, Gehenna, to call that place Gehenna, after the Valley of Gehenna, a place where the false god received human sacrifice and was so despicable in the times of the first century that the word would barely be used in the society of that day. A place that we read about in Jeremiah, the 19th chapter, verse 1 through 5, and also in Jeremiah 7, verse 30 through 34. An awful picture that Jesus painted of this place called hell. And I ask you at the outset of our study today, have these things moved you? Have they grabbed your serious attention? Have you thought more about things of an eternal nature now than you have before because of this picture that's being painted by God? I hope so, because if we continue to ignore the reality, if we continue to go about our business without recognizing that the end is approaching, all of these things will be of no value to us during final things. You know, the Scriptures teach us who will be at hell. A lot of times we determine whether to go somewhere depending upon who's going to be there. I know that that's true socially, it's true athletically, and the Scriptures teach us who's going to be in hell. Do you have your Bible with you? Now I'm going to turn in my Bible and read some of these Scriptures that I'm going to give you. The first that I'd like you to turn to is in Matthew, the 13th chapter. That's Matthew, the 13th chapter. And I'd like to read verse 40 through 44. Matthew 13, verse 40, beginning. These are the words of Jesus. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, let's just stop right there and identify a couple of kinds of people that are going to be in this final place called hell. There's going to be, according to verse 41, those who are stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. Well, what is lawlessness? The Bible is always the best dictionary of words that you find in the Bible. The dictionary or the definition of the word lawless is found in 1 John the 3rd chapter and verse 4. Very succinctly there we read, sin is lawlessness. So those people that are going to be in this place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, according to Matthew 13, are those people who do not take advantage of the blood of Christ and receive the forgiveness of their sins, but people that stand in front of the judge, and when the book of life that's talked about in the book of Revelation is opened and read, so that they receive the consequence of the things that they do while in the body, whether good or bad, and those things called lawless things or sinful things that are there in that book, those things that are according to Isaiah 59 and verse 2 separate one from God, will cause them to spend an eternity in hell. I'm told all the time by people that talk about the Church of Christ that we emphasize law too much, that we are legalist. Well, when I read things like the Lord said in Matthew 13 that those who are lawless are going to be in a place that where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, I say that we should take heed and be concerned about the law of the Lord. Certainly, that does not say that we have to have some kind of an arrogant, elitist attitude. We should be concerned about everyone and everyone's soul. But are those who are Christians concerned with law? Absolutely, we are. Well, other inhabitants of this place called hell are found, identified in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. If you have your Bible, turn to the 6th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'd like to consider with you verse 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul, in writing this letter to the Christians in Corinth, wrote, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God." Well, we're talking about those people that will find their eternal destiny in the place called hell. They will not inherit heaven, that place of reward about which we're going to study when we finish the subject that we're on now. But these people will find their eternal destiny in hell. Again, who are these people? Well, they're fornicators. That sort of flies in the face of the attitude that we have in our society that there's no evil consequence for free sex, doesn't it? Idolaters. You know, you don't have to have some kind of a man-made image to fall before to be an idolater. Anything that one puts in his life before the worship of God has an idol, whether that be his job, his family, his income, his car, his hobby. It doesn't matter. When you and I start putting things in our life before God, those things are idols. And if we do that, we can well be called an idolater. And an idolater will spend an eternity separated from God. Then the text that we just read says adulterers, those who are married, who have no biblical right to be married, are adulterers, and they shall not spend their eternity in heaven. The effeminate will not, nor homosexuals. Boy, that sure brings crashing down upon the alternative lifestyle theory, doesn't it? There certainly is an alternative lifestyle in our culture, but there is no alternative lifestyle with regard to those that are going to be spending an eternity in heaven. There will be no one, take it down, there will be no one, regardless of the reason that they live the way they do, there will be no one that finds a home in heaven that is a homosexual. Won't happen. Thieves will not be there. Covetous drunkards will not be there. We're told oftentimes that some people that suffer this addiction to alcohol, they can't help it. I fail to believe that there are those who will lose their soul over a sinful life that cannot be helped. Anyone who wants to be saved can be saved. It's more difficult, sure, for some, because of the consequences of a lifestyle that they've practiced, that they've chosen. But anyone that wants can be saved. Then revilers and swindlers are also listed as those that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I want, if you would, to turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5, another epistle written by the Apostle Paul. Chapter 5 in the book of Galatians, and I'd like to read with you verse 19, 20, and 21. Remember, these are identifying marks of those who are going to spend an eternity separated from God. Those who are going to spend an eternity in that place of flaming fire called hell. Verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarn you just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Look again at the closing of that passage. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That coincides perfectly with another epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote. That's found in a book called Ephesians. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter, beginning in verse 3 and reading through verse 5. We're studying now about final things. We're studying about identifying features of those who will spend an eternity in hell. Ephesians 5, verse 3. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure or covetous man, who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So we get more definitive, don't we, as we study further in the Scriptures and we're able to make a profile of those who will spend eternity separated from God. Now I'd like, if you would, to go to the book of Revelation. In Revelation, the 21st chapter and verse 8, we have more information concerning those who will be in that place called hell. There in Revelation 21 and verse 8, the Bible reads, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Did you notice that there is no categorization of sin there? Right there in the same verse that talks about unbelievers and abominable people and murderers is liars. Sometimes we begin to feel that some lies are inconsequential. If we can tell a little white lie for our convenience or for the convenience of someone else, it seems at times we just enter into that. But I read nowhere in the Bible about a white lie. Oh, I read the word white, but it always symbolizes purity, and thus it's never connected to something that will send us to hell, and that's lying. All liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That tells us, doesn't it, the importance of truthfulness in our life. Now, I just want you to stay in the book of Revelation. Go to the next chapter. That's chapter 22. And I'd like to look with you at verse 15. In Revelation 22 and verse 15. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. And it talks about outside the safety of that place called heaven. Well, I would say that I'm pretty impressed with the picture that God has given to me concerning that final place called hell. Oh, I can say in my mind, I'm no murderer. I'm no homosexual. I'm no thief. I'm a good moral person. In fact, I hear people all the time say that this or that person will be protected in eternity because they're just good moral people. The kind of people that mind their own business, that live and let live. But that doesn't coincide with what the Bible teaches us, does it? The scriptures also describe some other inhabitants of this place called hell. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, it's surprising, isn't it, to find that this place called hell is going to be the eternal home of some religious people. Turn, if you would, to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and I think one of the most awe-inspiring, one of the most frightening, one of the most respected scriptures in all of the Bible. Matthew, the 7th chapter, and I want you to look, if you would, beginning in verse 21. This is Jesus Christ as he spoke at that time. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There's that word again, lawlessness. Remember the definition thereof from 1 John 3 and verse 4. Sin is lawlessness. Jesus Christ said, if you practice sin, you will not find a home with me in eternity. Well, that tells us that it's important what we practice, doesn't it? That coincides with Colossians 3 and verse 17 that says that we must have authority. We must do all things in the name of Jesus Christ. We must have scriptural authority for those things that we practice in this life. Now I want to call your attention to the 25th chapter of Matthew. Matthew, the 25th chapter, I'd like to read with you beginning in verse 1 and going through verse 13. If you've got it in your Bible, turn to Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to the 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil and flasks along with their lamps. Now when the bridegroom was delayed, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, Behold, the bridegroom! Come out and meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered and said, No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came to those who were ready. They went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered and said, Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. That's the lesson for us today. Be on the alert. Keep yourself ready for judgment. Stand ready for final things. Stand ready to avoid hell and to reap the great reward for which Jesus Christ came and died, that place which will be the subject of our next lesson, that place called heaven. Thank you so much for listening. May this week bring you unusual opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.